he will drain it.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about all the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is Who's There. We're not keeping tabs of the numbers anymore, so it's Who's There, whatever. It's this one. It's Who's There, the day of Brangelina's destruction.
Today was such a day.
Today was wild. Our friend Dan D'Addario retweeted Richard Lawson's retweet from earlier in the day that was like, listen, it was like, here's footage of Us Weekly employees at the end of today. And it was a link to the scene at the end of Captain Phillips when Tom Hanks is crying.
Sir, I need you to breathe. Okay? You are safe and you are fine. It's gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
I can't believe you just said when our one friend retweeted our other friend, as if you couldn't just say when our friend originally tweeted, whatever. But can we just go over, I mean, I just opened it up. This is like a little bit on the fly, but everything that Us Weekly has written today, can I just read out the headlines of everything that they've covered on Brangelina? Because it's like,
absolutely,
it's like the Iliad of coverage. I mean, I don't think there's any angle that they haven't hit.
I did see earlier the photo of it was like, this is the last photo of them together. Like, they're dead.
Yeah. So I'm going back in time. 5 hours ago, we had Angelina's first two splits revisited. Billy Bob, Johnny Lee Miller. Sob, relive Jen Aniston, Brad Pitt's shocking 2005 split. That's 6 hours ago. Brangelina split, : celebs can't handle the truth. Reactions. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, a timeline of their relationship. Brad and Angelina. Mm-hmm.
What I think is rude is that you're skipping relevant Who news, like, on Red Carpet Daily, all the best and boldest beauty looks from the Emmys, photo of Emily Ratajkowski.
Just one photo. I find it truly unbelievable how thorough they were. Like, it was hilarious how thorough they were. Shocking.
I mean, they were getting the clicks. They were getting the clicks and they wanted more clicks.
I gotta say, so my question for you, I don't want to read the other headlines, they're boring, but it was literally everything you could ever think of they did. My question for you, as it pertains to Who Weekly, because God, clearly they are not, these are two very prominent thems, and I would never slander their names.
Okay.
To imply their who's, but since we talk a lot about like media coverage and kind of where things go and when they go, what do you think is the media play for their first official statements after this fallout? Like, who, like, what magazine will get the exclusive from each of them?
Oh God. Well, I can tell you right now, I bet like who would be the big like Condé properties are shitting themselves right now, and they're like calling in every favor.
Yeah,
like it's like Vanity Fair, Vogue.
The, like, classy,
I'm sure Elle wants it.
The classy ones are
classy.
Like,
I would go to like if this were another pregnancy, or if this were something about the relationship that were headline worthy but not scandalous, it would go to People because they have a precedent for choosing that type of shit. I think People got the exclusive wedding dress photos.
Yeah, but I feel like People is not classy enough.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's not classy enough for this. So with this, I'm assuming it's going to be like a Jennifer Garner type thing where Jennifer Garner got Vanity Fair and then Ben Affleck got nothing because Ben Affleck's not going to talk to anyone about this. But I think it would be a GQ v Vanity Fair
GQ
moment.
Maybe him for GQ, but for her,
yeah.
I feel like she's going to go full humanitarian effort and be like, who is going to, the peg is going to be like some new project she's doing promoting some like, you know, like the earth or like the, you know, the water or like the sky or whatever. And one of the things.
So, okay. So Lindsay, are you trying to tell me she's going to break the news to the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation?
Honestly.
To the newsletter.
Adrian Grenier.
The newsletter that comes in the mail.
I think Adrian Grenier and Leonardo DiCaprio are going to team up and make a documentary and it's just going to be her statement about this and then like save the elephants or whatever.
But honestly, in realistic terms, I think it's way too early to tell, because we have to see like how they're responding to these things, because they've already made it about the children. And if it's about the children, they may not talk about it at all for a long time, you know? They don't have to.
They don't have to. Okay, you're right. So the bottom line is they don't have to, because we live in a society of no access. So they don't have to right. do anything. You're right.
They don't have to do anything. And also they have those two Netflix movies coming out later.
Ooh.
Don't they have like Netflix? Brad Pitt looks like a Ken doll on the set of the upcoming Netflix drama. And then Angelina.
Are they doing this together?
What I'm saying is, no, oh, she's directing a movie about Cambodia. I'm saying they're working on individual things, so they're only going to talk about their work. They're not going to talk about, they're going to stonewall anyone who asks about their private lives. They're only going to talk about the work.
Right.
That's all it's going to be.
Well, famously, I don't know if you remember, but she very controversially made journalists sign contracts when she was promoting A Mighty Wind? What was it called?
A Mighty Heart.
A Mighty Wind sounds like a movie about a big fart.
A Mighty Wind is a movie. It's a Christopher Guest movie about the musicians.
A big fart. So, So when she was promoting that, she made journalists sign a waiver to like not talk about things. But the irony is that the movie was about freedom of press and like journalism.
Who was it? She was Daniel Pearl?
Yeah.
Was that the journalist?
Right, but it was all about freedom of press, and she made journalists like sign a thing that they wouldn't ask questions about her that she didn't want, and it was very like the irony was like very strong, and everyone got mad. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't even the first time they had done that. They'd also done that for the Mr. and Mrs. Smith promo. They made people sign stuff that they wouldn't ask about like their relationship or whatever. Anyways, and I also want to bring up, I guess now we're like really on them, but you wrote a very interesting thing today for Jezebel, and I feel like you should talk about that. And it talks a lot about kind of...
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I could preface this by saying, literally as I was working on it, which is why I was so defensive when you were texting me this morning, as I was working on it, Lindsay with her 3-hour time delay is like...
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I woke up.
Brangelina, can you believe it? And I was like... Yeah, I know, like, welcome to the news. And she was like, this was on, like, Bobby, this was on the cover of a tabloid. She was like, I was in the grocery store and I saw this on the cover of the tabloid last week. And I was like, Lindsay, I was like, this is on the cover of the tabloid in the grocery store. Every other week,
right.
The tabloids say that they're divorcing. And she was like, no, it was on. No, it was last week. It was on the cover.
Was.
And I was like, Lindsay? And so I did this post that was just, originally I only had it for the past couple years. And then my editor was like, no, go more. And it got like so much funnier whenever you go back in time, literally 9 years, because they started dating on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith in 2004. But they didn't like make anything public until long after the movie came out. So like they didn't start making headlines about their impending split until like 2007-ish. And then from then on, it was just nonstop. It was they're splitting because of Jen, they're splitting because of Brad, they're splitting because of Angie, they're splitting because of like God knows what, drugs, cheating, everything.
But I just think it just speaks to the fact that maybe in the beginning it was bullshit. Maybe in the beginning it was just tabloid garbage.
Yeah.
Recently, the more recent ones, they always speak to something. There's a reason why the rumors keep percolating. And
it's always like a broken clock is right twice a day. By the end of it, some of the rumors are bound to be true, but you never know until the confirmation happens. So it's following the pattern that these things always follow. Like the same thing happened with Ben and Jen last year.
But somebody had done this, like someone did, I think it was Nate at Vulture, did a like history of Brad Pitt's marijuana use, which is like kind of a joke, but it's also not, because this is a thing that keeps coming up. He'll be like, I smoke too much weed, and people around him will be like, oh, he smokes a lot of weed. And in the reports, Angelina Jolie was like, he smokes too much weed.
Yeah.
So it's a thing.
It's a thing. And so, but like I said, that's still not needle in a haystack level, but it's still every once in a while they're right. But whenever you throw every single dart at the board, one of them's going to hit.
No, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, it is really interesting. The last thing we can say before we move on to the more pressing subject of who's is that what is, I honestly, like, this seems like it should be something that would fascinate me to no end. It truly does not. Because I find them both boring.
They are boring.
But what is really actually interesting about this is that Angie is asking for full custody. That's the only thing that makes this like,
Are you surprised?
I am. You would expect her to ask for joint. Like, they did all this together.
I don't know. He smokes too much weed.
He smokes too much weed, but they're in Los Angeles, Lindsay.
Lindsay. Well, you know what I read? You know what I heard the rumor was? Did you read this on... Lady Gossip has had the best coverage of this also. If anybody, like, cares about this, go straight to Lady Gossip and do not pass go. Yeah. Is that what they say? Yes. No, I remember that one. No, what they're saying is that she really wants to be involved in British politics. Did you read this part? And she wants to, like, join the House of Lords. And that's why they have a residence in London. So, because you have to have a residence for a certain amount of time before you can run. I don't know how politics works outside the United States. But, like, apparently she wants to be a part of... Well, she always wants to get into politics because she always wants to, like... She wants to do world-changing policy.
Right. She's a humanitarian. Right?
So I'm not surprised. She's a humanitarian.
I mean, because she's, I mean, we all know that she's not that successful at any other part of her career. So, like, she has her Oscar, but, like, her movies that she directs don't really do well. The movies that she star in, like, apart from Maleficent, but.
She's kind of, she's a movie star, but she's really not a movie star. Yeah. Like, she is, but she's more of a personality and more of a.
She's also really private. We have to stop talking about her.
Yeah, fine, whatever. They're boring and. I can't wait to see what happens next, even though I find them boring, I guess. So I guess I don't find them boring. Anyways.
This is what 10 years of marriage will do to you.
To everyone who was like, hey, you sound like Britney Spears' Blackout. your sound was awful. I know my microphone broke and like we had to roll with it. And I apologize for that. Thank you for sticking through it, even though I sounded like I was coming to you from another planet. Things happen. It's not like you pay for this, all right? So relax. That's all.
Wow.
I got defensive. Sorry.
You
anyways,
weren't planning to get defensive. Wow.
I wasn't, but I just was like, you know what? For now, this is a free service, and until it becomes paid,
a paid service.
I'm not like Amazon.com. You can't like report. You know, like I'm not like customer service. But I appreciate you guys sticking with it. I got a new microphone. All right.
You're assuming people stuck with it, also.
Oh.
Call number one.
Hey, Who Weekly. It's Jared here. Just watched the Emmys last night, and I feel bad. First of all, I just want to say I feel bad for TV stars. I feel like TV stars in general are more likely to be who's, even if they don't try to be, just because there's so much TV on the air, whatever, whatever. Anyways, I was doing a little interneting, if you will, and I saw that something about Kevin Spacey's date to the Emmys is his manager, but he was also the guy from the band in 2000, Evan and Jaren. It's Evan from that song, and they sang that song Crazy for This Girl or Crazy for My Girl, or I don't know what the deal is. But in a more conspiratorial, is that a word, aspect, do you think Kevin Spacey and Evan from Evan and Jaren are, like, hooking up? Because it says he's his manager, but he's kind of hot, and he also wore an Amish hat, which is a couple of years old now at this point, so his trends are a little off. Anyways, I digress, but I just thought that was a juicy little bit of hooiness happening at the Emmys, and with one of the few Zems at the Emmys, I was just shocked. I was just, you know, so just wanted to call and see if you guys had an opinion, if you loved this song, Crazy for Your Girl or Crazy for My Girl, and, okay, bye.
Okay, first of all, it's Crazy for This Girl. Would you look at her, she looks at me, she's got me thinking about. Second of all, did you just call out Evan Lowenstein's hat for being off trend? The man is dating Kevin Spacey. He doesn't like. And as for whether or not he is or isn't, we should add allegedly to that because it just seems like he is. We don't know for sure. He's not going to change his Instagram bio to like former half of Evan and Jaren, current boyfriend of the star of House of Cards on at Netflix, Kevin Spacey.
First of all, thank you to our caller for pointing out literally the only interesting thing that happened at the Emmys. Like, props to you for really zooming in on that one moment they cut to Kevin Spacey clapping with him next to him, and everyone was like, who is that? And literally nothing else happened the entire night. Let's not lie. What else happened?
I don't know. I turned on the JonBenet documentary.
Which was a whole other topic of discussion. But the Emmys were boring. The only good part was this part when they cut to Kevin Spacey and his date, Evan Lowenstein. And I gotta say, the turnaround between who is that man is from that band 1,000 years ago
30 seconds.
Was quite quick. Props to everyone who really put in the work to figure out and ID this gentleman. I mean, he was wearing, like, jingle jangle bracelets and a big hat, but he, like, looked good.
He looked great. He looked great.
Immediately, people went to his Instagram, which is insane, and people went to his Twitter, on which he retweets Kevin Spacey literally all the time.
All day.
Like, all day long. Like, all of his tweets are retweets of Kevin Spacey.
All day. And I love that everyone, whenever the moment you end up on Instagram.com/Evan Lowenstein, you see two things immediately amidst the chaos of this page. Number one, the two things that everyone sees are, one, his really sad bio that says, let's party like it's 1999, ellipsis, so I can be famous again. And and then...
And then, I couldn't write that better.
And then you scroll down, and there is this one photo of Evan Lowenstein, shirtless, six-pack out, cowboy hat on, and it says, I tip my hat to the Supreme Court and the entire hashtag LGBT community with the gayest pic I've ever posted, but not necessarily taken. Rainbow eggplant, cherry, margarita, confetti, rainbow hearts, dart on a dartboard.
I gotta say, I like this guy.
I love this guy.
He seems good. He seems cool.
I love this guy.
But my question is, I have two questions, actually. What happened to Jared? And my second question is Jared also gay?
I don't think so.
So one's gay, one's not?
I think so. That's what I assumed. But also, this is just me assuming. Because there are some photos of him and Jared. And I think they're brothers.
No, they are.
Yeah.
They're 100%.
And they look,
like,
a lot
twins.
They look a lot alike.
They might be twins.
I think they're twins. But there's the best photo of them together is it's Evan and Jaren and then David Blaine in the middle. So that's based on this photo of Evan and Jaren and David Blaine in the middle, I'm gonna go ahead and say only Evan's gay.
Next call.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. This is Jill. I absolutely love the podcast. So I have a question about a real mystery who. I know you're watching Robin China, which is boring, like you said, Bobby. But so on the show, Rob keeps talking about this ex-girlfriend of his who cheated on him all the time. Is that who, Rita? If not, do you have any idea who this ex-girlfriend is? Hopefully you can help me with this investigation, or I guess you could call it a whovestigation. All right, disappointed in myself about that one. All right, thanks. Bye.
Lindsay, you want to start with this?
Well, I gotta say that it is pretty amazing that out of all of the Kardashian spinoffs, and I've watched all of them, this is by far the saddest one.
So sad.
It is extremely hard to watch. I don't know, like,
it's really
how
sad.
Much more I could possibly take.
There are only,
like,
four more episodes, so.
Really? How many?
They're only doing six episodes.
Are you? Because they break up in the last one, don't they?
I don't think so. I mean, I think what I have assumed it's going to be is that I think they're just going to become part of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I think this is sort of the segue into it.
When has that stopped them from having spinoff shows before? Anyways, whatever happens, why there's only six. They're boring, but it's also really depressing. They, like, have to throw in, like, Scott Disick for comic relief, who, like, shows up
with the trainer. Ugh.
He reminds me of, like, on Family Matters when Urkel, like, storms in. He's like, I'm here, like, hidey-ho, neighbors, yeah. or whatever he says. Yeah. Scott Disick, like, will just appear in a scene and be like, rah! And everyone's like, Scott, yeah. you're crazy.
Yeah, literally. He just literally walks into Rob's house and he's like, surprise!
It's so depressing. Anyways, that's, like, not the point of this call, but I gotta say, if you're like maybe trying to tune in, if you're thinking, if you're still deciding, I would say no.
It's sad.
I would say don't do it. Right?
It's sad. What the call was referencing, I wrote about the second episode for Jezebel a few days ago, and you end the second episode, which was the most recent one, like pretty convinced, even despite like the smoke and mirrors of reality TV cameras, you end up pretty convinced that Rob and China really, really do like each other.
You do?
I do. I get a sense of like Rob feels like he needs her, and then China is like, oh, this is the father of my unborn baby. You sense like a deep connection there, but it's you also sense like total misery. Rob is so unhappy. China recognizes that and doesn't know what to do. You don't leave with the promise of like a long-term thing. You just leave with like, oh, these two people really need each other right now, but how long is this going to last? This sucks.
I mean, basically every member of the Kardashian family that they ask about China defaults to, hey, whatever gets Rob out of the house,
right.
Which is fine. I mean, whatever, but the caller is asking about a reference that Rob makes.
God, we haven't even referenced that.
We could just do this forever. A reference that Rob makes to an ex-girlfriend who cheated on him all the time. There are basically two options for this. Yeah. There's Adrian Bailon of the Cheetah Girls fame, who was in a lot of the show.
Who was in a lot of the early show. Rita was never in the show as far as
Rita was never in the show. So I'm thinking if he's going to slander anyone, it would be Rita. Honestly, because then, remember he said that the caller references this, that she slept with like 20 guys. Remember that whole thing, that awful thing he said?
Yeah.
In this match between whether I feel weird about Rob or Rita the most, I mean, Rob is gross. Like, that is gross to say about anyone. Whether or not it's true,
yeah.
I think he's referencing Rita, if I had to guess. Adrian and him seem to have a better relationship after breaking up than he does with Rita.
Yeah, right? And also it always seemed like Adrian broke up with Rob, not the other way around.
Yeah, right.
So,
God, she got out of that. She really...
She avoided it. She got out just in time, to be honest.
I have my ex-boyfriend's name on my butts, on my bottom. Not my favorite tattoo, and that's the one that I definitely want to get removed.
So, yeah, I guess it would be Rita. I mean, when I heard that, I wasn't like, Rita! I was kind of like, how can I get done with this episode faster? I wasn't really thinking.
But also knowing Rob, there were like those several years where he was completely out of commission. So maybe he dated a girl that no one knows about.
Uh-oh, did Rita Ora cheat on Rob Kardashian? Hi, friends. Thanks for clicking back to Clever News for all the latest scoop on your favorite celebrities. Looks like there was some major trouble in paradise for Rob Kardashian and Rita Ora. The 25-year-old keeping up with the Kardashian star took to Twitter to put his now seemingly ex-girlfriend on blast. Rob said, quote, "How can a woman who is so busy trying to start her own career have time to be with so many dudes all while in a relationship? She cheated on me with nearly 20 dudes while we were together. I wonder how many she will sleep with now that we're apart. But I mean, 20? The rant didn't just end there. Rob vented even more frustration, saying, quote, "I'm actually disgusted a woman could give up her body to more than 20 dudes in less than a year's time while trying to start a career." Yikes alert!
Speaking of the Kardashians, the next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. It's Talon, your self-appointed non-solicited sports correspondent. I'm calling to complain about how riled up I got about Khloe Kardashian allegedly dating Tristan Thompson, and also to explain who he is. Tristan Thompson plays basketball for the Cleveland Cavaliers and is mostly famous for being extremely rich because LeBron liked him and wanted him to stay on the team. He's also very handsome because when I looked at the photo of him that they had in Us Weekly, I was like, this guy looks like Michael B. Jordan if Michael B. Jordan was an actual athlete and not just an actor who played a lot of athletes. That's all I've got. Love you. Bye.
Honestly, that's all I needed.
Good call.
That's all.
Good call.
Yeah.
Next call.
Got it.
Thank you for calling. Here we go.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. I'm calling because I want to know the who them status of the greatest defunct boy band ever, One Direction. I'd argue that Harry is the number one them, despite the fact that his movie isn't out yet, and I don't know totally what that movie will be. But Zayn, also a them, despite the fact that he never goes to his own concerts, I'm not sure. I want to know about Liam, Louis, and Niall as well. This question was inspired because I just saw on a One Direction fan account I follow that Niall is supposedly releasing a single next week, and that it's supposed to sound like Ed Sheeran, which sucks. So, just wondering. Okay, love you. Bye.
We did discuss One Direction with One Direction expert Logan Sacken, who is now writing a column on The Hairpin every week about what One Direction is up to that week, which is, if you haven't read it, the intricacy of her research is fascinating. Whether or not you like One Direction, it's kind of irrelevant to the content. But...
So I feel like
I think things have changed since we last talked about them, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and break it down, but in who in the category of who and them, in my as someone who's less familiar with One Direction than you, just to see how it compares.
Sure.
So
sure.
I would say my gut is that the thems are Harry, Zayn, and Louis, and the who's are Niall and Liam.
Okay,
and I would say Niall's way down in the who list.
It's funny that you say that, like, I'm the better, like, if I was the better fan, I would think more of them are thems, but I actually, as a bigger fan or whatever, actually think that the only two thems in One Direction are Harry and Zayn. Yeah. That's it. And I don't think that the rest of them, I mean, remember that little baby blip? One of them had the baby. We were talking about this drama. We've talked about this on the podcast. That did not, like, make that guy a them for me. I don't even know, remember which guy that was.
Well,
which guy was
but
it?
Wasn't it Louis. Wasn't it Louis and Harry had like the fanfic love?
Yeah, but like
that's the only reason I'd call
Larry
them.
Is a them.
Larry,
the ship is a them. Louis is still a who. Because if you were like, Larry? I'd be like, oh, it's Harry Styles and that other guy. Oh yeah, because of Zayn's mysterious whatever dating Gigi, his book coming out, his solo career, he's definitely a them now.
Yeah.
Harry Styles, because he's basically like the Justin Timberlake of the band. The one that has the most hope to be famous post. Like he's in a movie and whatever. He's a them.
Yeah. Oh, the movie.
And the rest of them, I can barely pronounce their names.
The movie Katie was referencing was the new Christopher Nolan movie, which is actually a really big deal.
It's a big deal.
The Battle of Dunkirk. I think it's just called Dunkirk.
And I feel like he at least has one cameo. He maybe has like a Rita Ora size role.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess.
His hair looks great.
He looks great. He cut his hair for the role, which was a huge deal. I mean, this is just like not a One Direction podcast, but ultimately I think there are only two. Let's be real. Ask your mom. Ask anyone. I'm
in that camp.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for calling. Well, you know, we'll check in with this sporadically. We don't mind. We'll come back to this when we need to, but I think that's good for now.
Next call.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Bobby. I love your podcast. I was curious, what is the whoiest charity to support? So when I think that, like, the whoiest celebrities support all those hair gummies and teeth whiteners, what is the whoiest charity that they do? I feel like it's something like animals or anything that's not, like, so complex that the celebrity has to actually understand what the nuances are of what they're supporting. Yep, so thank you. Also, I wanted to give a shout-out to Article Club. So my friends and I, in 2005, when we first graduated from college, we all hated our day jobs. And so we just emailed each other ridiculous articles about celebrity gossip, making fun of celebrities. And your podcast is kind of the closest thing to what we used to do all the time. So you guys are awesome. Thanks for bringing Article Club back together. Bye.
So the one that I always think of, I don't think this is like a who charity, but I think all charities are ultimately who, I don't, okay, whatever, is the Red charity?
Yes.
Like Red?
Yes, I remember. I was alive in 2000, whatever, six.
Well, I think it's a who because I don't actually know what it gives money to. Do you know?
It gives money to HIV AIDS research, like HIV AIDS awareness in specifically Africa.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yes. So that's what made Red really interesting and sort of, I mean, I feel like you could find articles that would take you either way on this, but I feel like most people would argue that Red was sort of a failure because it was just a portion of the proceeds of something you would buy that was trademarked with the Red logo, right, and then colored red. A portion of those proceeds would go to the AIDS research.
Well, they're always like trying to, I mean, I guess that's kind of smart. It's like, okay, buy this thing, but buy it slightly nicer and red and with a bonus thing, and we'll give some of the money to charity. Right. I mean, that's not an unusual way to have people give money to charity.
Right, but then the complaint was that they spent more money on advertising than they actually gave to the charity, which has been right, disputed by the Red campaign, but, like, I don't really know if that's true or not.
Which is still around and thriving. I mean, they definitely...
Thriving's a stretch, but it's around.
I had a big laugh, and I sent a screenshot of this to you, but speaking of stickers, the Who Weekly stickers, I guess, are they caught up in the Apple
They're
store?
In They're, review. They're in review.
They're in review. Okay, but I was looking at all the stickers, and let me tell you, it is a mess, the stickers that are in the... It's a mess. It is a mess.
I'm aware.
It's a mess. And you know who has their own sticker set?
Who?
Red.
Oh, you sent me those. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Why? Like, out of all the things to spend your money on, honestly, rumors that they spend more money on marketing seem very true when I see a Red sticker pack. I'm sorry. Who is making this? Who is putting this together?
Bono.
Shouldn't you be busy doing other stuff? Bono.
It's just Bono does everything.
What other Hooey charities are? I think you said ASPCA is pretty
Well,
Hooey.
Who's Love Animals, but I would go ahead and say, like, the reasoning behind that is because a Who is probably less inclined to risk a charity that could be seen as right, divisive. So, like, sure, everyone loves animals. So
how can you not love animals?
They're just going to do ASPCA and the like, because it's an easy in. People will think, like, oh, cute, and animals make for great Instagrams.
Sure, and I'll say so, like, if you're a Who and you're like, okay, I want to support a charity, I love animals, don't go for PETA. That is divisive. Stay safe. Stay with the ASPCA.
And plenty of Who still do go for PETA, but it's usually a very specific type of Who, and that Who is model who doesn't mind being naked.
Sure, because then they make them do that, yes, stuff. But I will say, so the other thing that is, you just reminded me, people who... Thems who do environmental work, as we were referencing before, that's divisive because climate change is real.
Yes.
But a lot of people don't think it's right, real. So you don't want to alienate the people that don't think climate change
no,
is
that's
real.
Exactly, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, yeah.
Right. I will say, speaking of animals, I stumbled across a new charity that I think you'll be very interested in. This is a solely Instagram-based promotion, and it's all models. And the main woman, I think, who is doing it, is, remember, let me figure out how to pronounce her name again. Let me think about it for a second. Dautzen Kruz? Remember Kruz? Dautzen Kruz?
How could I forget Dautzen Kruz?
So Dautzen Kruz is one of the main people in this charity that is, I guess, for saving elephants. And the hashtag is not on my planet. And the knot is spelt like tying a knot.
K-N-O-T.
Right. And then all of the celebrities, who-lebrities, models are tying knots in their photos. And not just like a knot, like a special ribbon or anything elaborate. Literally any garbage they find in their house, they're like tying a knot. Have you seen this?
So they tie a knot to remind themselves that elephants are being killed?
It's like, not on my planet. And then like a knot. But I don't understand
then what do you
the
do?
Like...
You just, like, think about it. You're like, oh.
Yeah. It's like the...
You look at the knot and you're like, okay. Is this for... Are you supposed to donate? Because I don't see any, like, links to donate here on any
I don't know. I just see a lot of knots.
Emily Ratajkowski tying a knot.
Emily Ratajkowski. There's one of, like, somebody, like... Just the way that what they're choosing to tie into a knot is funny to me. Because it's, like, whatever is in the house.
It's everything.
Yeah.
They're just tying anything they see and then Instagramming it. This Emily Ratajkowski one of her tying her tank top into a crop top is one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Right, right. She's like, let's make it also sexual. How do I sex up this Save the Elephants promo? I want to save elephants, but I also want to be sexy. How can I make this happen? And Delton Cruz is like, here you go. Here's your opportunity.
I'm saving these elephants, and then I'm turning my day look into a night look, and check me out.
I just got a real kick out of that, and it came up so many times on the Who Weekly Instagram feed.
I've never seen it.
Only Who's. Oh, well.
This is wild. Oh, wait, so.
Hashtag can you not.
We need to, since it has a hashtag, we should do another hashtag campaign. I'm gonna go ahead and ask all of you to tie a knot in anything you see.
Oh my God.
Take a photo of it and then hashtag it. Can you not? CanuKnot, as a way of reminding you of Not on My Planet, which should then in turn remind you that elephants are being killed, which should maybe remind you to donate to elephants. Only I don't even know where you would donate to the elephants, because none of these people are linking to any, like.
So is this an awareness campaign?
It's awareness for awareness.
Campaigns where that's only awareness. So you're being aware of the awareness. You're super aware.
You have to be made aware of the awareness. And the only way to do that is to hashtag can you not. CanuKnot. And just, you have to be aware.
I can't believe you just started a hashtag that's like competing with a charity hashtag.
No, it's not competing with, it's running in tandem with.
Here's the thing. Bobby and I don't want to kill elephants. Let's just get that out there. This is not an advocacy for killing elephants. I don't actually know anyone who wants to kill elephants. Can you imagine taking that stance and being like, out of all the things that you would take a stance on, you're like, you know what?
Like,
I want to kill
your
elephants.
Your friend who's always covered in ivory jewelry is like, you know what, guys? I'm not really into this, like, not charity.
Like, what are you into, like, chess pieces and, like, chess pianos? Piece. Like, what is made out of ivory
and very
nowadays
big,
that young people
very big
want?
Statement necklaces. It's like, wait.
God. It's just crazy because I feel like we, like, young, you know, there is fur. People do wear fur. People do all that stuff. But elephant killing is really not a young person's game. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. So,
like, Emily Ratajkowski is targeting the wrong audience. Like, teenagers are seeing Can You Not, or what is it, Not on My Planet, or whatever. They're seeing it and being like, we don't even use elephants for anything. Like, why would I pay for that? Like, it's fine. I'm not doing anything.
We don't use elephants for anything. Okay, we have to end.
Hashtag Can You Not.
Hashtag Can You Not. CanuKnot.
Well, I'm so glad we're, like, wasting our call-outs, our challenges on, you know, elephant advocacy.
Lindsay, can you not? Let's end this.
Thanks for coming back despite my bad sound.
Yeah, you can't let that happen again.
What? Fine. Whatever. Hashtag can you not.
Can you not. Bye, everyone.
You will drive it.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to be famous.
I tip my hat to the Supreme Court and the entire hashtag LGBT community with the gayest pic I've ever posted, but not necessarily taken. Rainbow eggplant, cherry margarita, confetti, rainbow hearts, dart on a dartboard.